We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I'm a Trumpocrat.
Trumpocrat, that's right.
If I have the ability to vote, I'm going to vote for him.
You cannot make a brilliant speech where they say that was such an incredible, elegant speech if I'm talking about dishwashers, sinks, toilets, light bulbs.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. All I have to say, my dad actually gave me this line. It's his birthday. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas because, and I just posted this if you want to see it. I don't think I'm going to put it on Twitter because it's kind of gross, but I did put it up. Maybe it shouldn't make a difference, but I have more followers on Twitter. Mike Anderson's back in the studio this afternoon. Dave Klein, what, did he take the whole year off? I thought he was back today, Anderson. Not that I'm not glad to be with you, but I was unaware that this was how the week was going to start. Did you see my black eye?
I did. Fred Bottomer was kind enough to show me the picture.
Here's what I've decided on this. So you can look on Instagram or on Facebook right now. I put it on stories. I'm Mark Talk on Instagram. So I have a bit of a black eye, my left eye, and I've come up with three different scenarios, Mike, to toss out at 3:05, and we'll see if you guys... I've tried to make them kind of plausible, too, and we'll see if you can figure out. I mean, it might have been, you know, an incident on the airplane, right? Last night, you don't know what happened, but it hurt. I will tell you that, so I'll run that down. You know, it was interesting because a week ago today, I was sitting here. I really was judged a lot for this Vegas trip because people, when I posted a few things over the weekend, they were like, "Why are you in Vegas? Why are you in Vegas, you COVID-spreading, non-mask-wearing?" Even though I was wearing a mask and I wore the mask for the entire airplane ride. I was, as some of you might remember, I was a little nervous about that, but I got through it. Anyway, a week ago today, I'm sitting here and all this stuff starts happening in baseball. I got Friday off because I'm going to Vegas to see a friend. We didn't even go out. We didn't go out at all, really. We tried to go out to dinner on Saturday night. We couldn't get an Uber. That was weird. That's kind of another aspect of the story. But I was sitting here. I knew I had the trip coming up. Now, I took Friday off because there was baseball in Milwaukee. All right. There was an afternoon game. I wasn't going to end up on the air. Nice way, you know, kind of get an extra day, jaunt to Vegas. I get on the airplane Friday morning. So if you go back a week ago, maybe I should back up a little bit. But as I get on the airplane on Friday morning, I start seeing, we're just about to take off, and I start seeing tweets and what's going on with the Cardinals. And lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, my Mike Anderson, who's back at the station right now, would confirm this. Fred Bottomer would confirm this. Carol would confirm this. My boss would confirm this. My wife would confirm this. My kids would confirm this. My mom and dad would confirm this. I never do anything that's smart. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you plan things out or have any foresight? But in this rare, rare moment, ladies and gentlemen, a rare moment of foresight, I called Brad Young and said, "Brad, I don't know if we're going to have baseball on Friday because of everything going on. I want to make sure," and I was actually, because I'm about as big a pain in the ass as you might imagine with my boss, and he has to deal with me all the time. So I thought, you know, I'm going to try to take this off his plate and do something, and he texts me on Friday morning as I'm on the plane and said, "I think we're okay." Mike, can you confirm, was Brad there on Friday and we had a round table and everything?
Yes, he was. He was very prepared and good to go.
So we put a roundtable panel together, and I ended up being very disappointed because one of the things I was looking forward to out in Vegas was to hang out. A good friend of mine that we went to high school, Parkway West, here together, Rick Niner. We've been friends for almost 40 decades, and we're big sports fans. We're going to watch a lot of baseball, and hockey and basketball. And we got to do that, but we got to do it without the Cardinals. We have Rick Stream coming up here on the election. So I definitely want to make sure, Mike, don't let me go too long here this afternoon, because I know that I want to spend a little time with Mr. Stream. We also are going to cover Medicaid expansion this afternoon. I'll tell the story about the black eye coming up here. Now, as I was leaving the other day, you had the situation on Thursday with Wesley Bell and Mike Brown. And I've kind of been chomping at the bit, as you might imagine, to talk about that. So we're going to cover that this afternoon. I don't know what's happening with baseball, okay? And nobody seems to know. Hopefully we'll have some news. I don't know whether I should be nervous about the fact that we're not hearing anything. We did hear one report today that it's very unlikely that the Cardinals would play tomorrow in Detroit. They're awaiting some of these other tests. So the one scenario, I suppose, and again, just make sure you're paying attention to what I'm saying here. I'm not saying anything is going to cancel the season, but I would suppose that they are, you know, talking about all scenarios from, you know, canceling the season to seeing if we can push through with the Cardinals. In the meantime, the Cubs are 7-2 right now. You know, I was sitting there, I had this little app, and I'm not a big, I used to gamble a lot more. I wasn't really into it this trip because of COVID, but I did go to this one suburban casino, and you can put some money on an app, and they only let you use the app if you're out there. I think if I tried to use the app today, I wouldn't be able to do that. So, you know, I don't like the Cubs. Those of you who like the Cubs, no offense. I was not infected with the Cubs virus when I lived in suburban Chicago for my first 14 years, but I was looking at Saturday's games. I thought, I'm going to put $20 on the Pirates. The Cubs aren't going to win every game. Well, of course, the Cubs won. Then I had a little money in the account, and I thought, the Pirates aren't going to get swept. Why would they get swept? It's, you know, the Cubs are going to lose. Well, of course, yesterday, extra inning game, they had a rain delay. Lost money on that. So why would I bet on the Pittsburgh Pirates? That's a very valid question. That happened before I got knocked in the head with the black eye, too. So I'm not exactly sure why I did that. But here, just a quick story, too, and I can't identify the people. So somebody, a group of people who you know in the sports world knew I was going to Vegas. When I say you, everybody listening right now, you know who these people are. I can't name names. Be disrespectful, and they'd probably get mad at me. But there was this hockey bet that they put together, and it was an 8-team parlay, and they needed to get, so I got this thing in on Friday, 8-team parlay. I'm like, that's pretty ambitious, and the payout's like $8,000 if you hit this thing, right? Well, the first thing that happens, the Blackhawks are in the parlay. The first thing is they, whoever they were playing, Edmonton. Yeah, so the Oilers basically got smoked on Saturday. It ended up looking a lot closer than it was because I think they might have scored, you know, two empty netters. Anyway, Blackhawks win. I'm thinking, well, there goes the ticket. I mean, I thought the ticket. I should mention that the people who placed the bet, I decided I'm backing this up. I'm gonna place the bet too, because I'm not gonna cash this big ticket, come home with these guys and their money. So it was just a $50 bet, so it wasn't a big bet. Well, so I send a message to the person who placed the bet on Saturday after the Blackhawks won. I'm like, damn Blackhawks, and the response was, oh, it's only one game. You bet the series, right? I did not bet the series. So I screwed up the bet, and by that time, I had to see if I can just salvage something. I salvaged five teams. So there were three teams that had already played. I still think we got a chance to hit this thing. I think the payoff is $2,800, so I'll keep you posted on that as we move through the National Hockey League. And the Blues, I guess, lost last night. Mike, can you confirm that the Blues lost? Because I was actually on the airplane.
They lost with a tenth of a second on the clock.
Oh! I watched like the first 5 minutes of that game, then I listened to the next 10 minutes of the game, and they scored, I think, right at the end of the first period, didn't they?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, and then all right. Well, you know, it's first game. We'll be fine.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Tomorrow is election day. I'm going to get into this a little bit with our next guest, but he has to be bipartisan, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit more in the show as well. Look, the bottom line is if you are not happy, if you're a voter out there in St. Louis County, you're not happy with Sam Page and you're looking for an alternative, the only way is to pull a Democrat ballot and vote for, really, for Mark Montavani, unless you want an anarchist in Jake Zimmerman. I'm not sure what happened to Jake. He's a good dude, but wow, he's like sold himself out to the progressives. And then there's somebody else in that race too. Anyway, we'll sort of explain that, but I think a lot of people have some questions about how this is all going to work tomorrow, or maybe how it's going to work, you know, as we get into the fall as well. Rick Stream ran for St. Louis County Executive many years ago. He's with me this afternoon as the co-director of elections in St. Louis County because they have a Democrat and a Republican, Rick Stream being the GOP representative. Hey, Rick, good to have you back. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Mark, for having me on.
Is it terrible you're going to hang up on me if I say, hey, it was just 6 years ago when you only lost by like 1,800 votes in the St. Louis County Executive's race? Sorry, I just thought I'd get that out of the way, Rick.
That's all right. A lot of people have said that to me. In fact, just over the weekend, I had another guy kind of get angry at me. He said, why didn't you run again? You could have won that time. And I said, well, I had another job that came up that was actually better. And this has been a good fit for me over here at the election board. We've got a great crew here working, and it's exciting. It's exciting.
Man, I was, as you might remember, I'm sure it's a little bit of a blue, I was in that war room that night as you were getting the numbers, and it was very, very close. And it was exciting, and it was a good insight for me into, you know, how some of these things happen. And we're going to see that here over the course of the next few months with these races as well. I guess let me start with this question here, because look, I think a lot of people out there would like to vote tomorrow, but they're not even sure if it'll be safe or what the process is or if it's even changed up until this point. So let's kind of run down some of the basics here for people who know their polling place. Maybe they don't even know their polling place. I know mine. Is it okay to go there tomorrow? What am I going to look for?
Sure, it's going to be safe at the polling places. Everybody should have received in the last 2 weeks a notice of election card that tells them where their polling place is. And if they don't know that, if they can't find that card, they can always call our office here or go online to our website. They can look up their name and their address, and it'll tell them exactly where they're supposed to vote. Here's what we're doing at the polls. We did this in June, and we had absolutely no complaints from anybody, voters or poll workers, about how things were handled in June. And we're doing the same thing tomorrow. Our polling places will be open. There's 200 of them this time. All of our poll workers will be wearing masks and gloves. All of the utensils used by the voters, the pens, the styluses, will be cleaned between every voter. We're spraying down surfaces constantly to make sure they're all clean. We're asking the voters, requiring the voters to wear a mask inside. There's hand sanitizer for the voters. We've got the 6-foot social distancing strips that we're going to have down in place. So we're doing everything we can, just like we do here in our own office with the public. And ourselves, we're taking every precaution that the CDC and the St. Louis County Health Department has advised us to take, and we think it's going to be very safe at the polls. We're recommending everybody come into the polls and vote. It's safe and secure.
Okay,
and
so
it's very quick to vote too. It's much quicker to vote in person at the polls than it is absentee or curbside.
And I completely agree with that. I'm going to try to go in person. But let's say that somebody hears this, says, I don't know, I just don't feel right going out. Can they, even in the course of tomorrow, decide I'm going to do absentee ballot? Or is that too late?
It's way too late. You have to apply 2 weeks prior to the election so that we can get the ballot sent to them and they can send it back. All right. So it's way too late to apply for an absentee ballot. If somebody has already received a ballot, and it's too late to mail it back in, okay, because it has to be received in our office by 7 p.m. tomorrow night, election night. But the voter can take it to the polling place. They can bring it to our office today and just literally in their car hand it over to us. We have to see identification, of course, to validate everything. But they can do that, or they can take it to their polling place tomorrow and turn it in they can surrender the ballot, and then they have to vote there, okay? They can't turn it in and just drop it off at the polling place, but they can drop it off here at our office up here at the old Northwest Plaza Shopping Center.
What kind of numbers are you looking at right now for absentees? Do you have a good handle on that? How many people have gotten ahead of this?
Yes, there's we have at least 75,000 absentee ballots in the office right now, which is 5 times more than we normally have for this type of an election.
So what does that mean for results tomorrow night?
Well, we're hoping. We have been working 7 days a week with mandatory overtime for our entire staff for at least a couple of weeks now to stay ahead of this. We have everything processed that's come into our office so far. When I say processed, that means we've checked the signatures to make sure the envelopes match the signatures that's in the voter registration system. We've been able to, starting Thursday morning, we're, by state law, we're able to open the ballots and get them prepared, which means we check to make sure that the ballot hasn't been damaged when it was put in the envelope. And so we duplicate those. A bipartisan team, of course, is doing all of this together. The opening process, the preparation process, it's always a bipartisan team. And then we've been able to basically scan those ballots in like they would be voted at the scanner at the polling place. Now, they've been scanned, but nothing has been tabulated yet. So nobody knows any results or anything like that, but they've been scanned in. So starting tomorrow morning, we will begin to tabulate. And by 7:30, 7:45 tomorrow, we should be able to have a really large number of absentee ballots tabulated and reported. And I'm hoping 70,000 to 75,000.
Yeah, I thought you said just a couple of moments ago, you said Thursday morning. I might have misheard that or maybe just misspoke. So it is tomorrow morning when you can open those ballots.
No. We're allowed by state law to open them starting 5 days prior to the election to prepare them.
Last Thursday. Got it. Look, Rick, you know me. I'm easily confused. That's why I didn't understand that.
Well, I should have stated it differently.
I still think that this confuses people when you have a primary like this. And just to be clear, that you have to make a choice tomorrow. You can choose a Democrat or a Republican ballot. Now, if you are someone, I'm going to try to do this without getting you into trouble here because you're bipartisan, but you don't have to. If you're someone who votes typically Republican, you can still pull a Democrat ballot and I think I keep saying the word ballot as valid, and I don't know why that is. I'm cloudy after my weekend in Vegas. But the point is, you have to make a decision, but it doesn't matter how you voted in the past, right?
That's correct. We don't have voter registration in the state of Missouri, so we don't know who's a Republican or Democrat or anything like that. And I will tell you that anybody can vote across different parties. But you, once you pick a ballot for in a primary, you have to stay with that ballot for that election. In other words, if I go in and ask for a Republican ballot, I can only vote in the Republican primary for this election. But, if my friend or my brother wants to vote in the Democrat primary, he picks up a Democrat ballot and he votes in on that ballot for this election. And just so everybody knows, you don't have to say out loud at the polling place which ballot you want. It's on the poll pad.
Don't.
The electronic. No, it's on the poll pad.
Oh.
You just take the stylus and push the ballot, the button of the ballot that you want. And with the new voting system that we got in late last year, the Hart Verity system, it's a ballot on demand system, and it prints your ballot that you've just chosen right there in front of you. And two poll workers, a Republican and a Democrat, sign it, initial it, and then you go take that ballot into the polling place and vote it. So nobody knows if you picked up a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Constitution Party candidate, or nonpartisan for just the two issues that are on the ballot for nonpartisan. So
When I lived in the city, I always felt ballot shame because I think I was like one of three Republicans that would pull a Republican ballot. It's not so bad now that I'm in St. Louis County. Let's take a leap ahead here, Rick, just a little bit because I hope everyone takes the time to vote tomorrow because I think sometimes even these primaries are more important or whatever is going to be decided tomorrow outside of, candidates. But when we, a lot of people have questions about what November is going to look like. We know the president's tweeted about this. Do you have a handle on what to expect here in the next couple of months? Because my expectation would be for that election, because it's a bigger election, they're going to have a lot more people that are going to want to not do this in person.
Sure. We expect that there will be a tremendous number of people who want to vote absentee. And the state legislature passed that law, Senate Bill 631, which gave folks another block to check on the absentee ballot for COVID-related issues. And they also did the mail-in ballot option, which is totally separate from absentee balloting. So I would advise the public to get up to speed on those two new changes that allow them to vote not in person, but through the mail. We expect that if the voter turnout for presidential in St. Louis County this November is the same as in the past, it'll be 70% to 75%. This election tomorrow, Mark, will be probably 25%.
Right,
which is a little lower than normal for a statewide primary because, frankly, there are very, except for the St. Louis County Democrat executive race, there's virtually nothing competitive on the ballot. So the turnout will be light. I think the whole COVID issue has done something there too. But sure. In June, 45% of our vote total was by absentee ballot. But the total turnout for the June election, which was really an April election, was the same as it normally is for April. So no additional people voted. It was just that a lot of the people who normally go to the polls and vote voted absentee. And we expect that to be the case for tomorrow's election. Yeah. Like I said, we already have 75,000 ballots in hand of absentee ballots. So, and I think in November, you're going to see the same type of percentages. So, for instance, we may have 500,000 total votes for the November election. I think we could see over 200,000 of those be absentee ballots.
Okay, Rick, so one more question then before I let you go on. There's this idea, a lot of things that we're doing right now is curbside. So can you vote curbside or not?
Yes, curbside's been available in state law since 1979. It's intended for people who are handicapped or disabled, who literally couldn't get out of their car to walk into the polling place. But we're seeing here at our office that a lot of people are using the COVID reason as an excuse to vote curbside. And it's really slowing down the process here at our office. And I would encourage all of our voters tomorrow to go into the polling place and vote. It's safe. It's clean. And it's much quicker to vote in person in the polling place than it is to wait in your car and do it curbside. We don't have the staff at the polling places to process curbside voting quickly.
Rick Stream, the co-director of elections in St. Louis County. Good luck. I know how busy you're going to be. Thanks for squeezing us in here this afternoon, Rick.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk a little bit more about the elections as we get through this afternoon on KMOX. I want to talk about it a little bit next hour as well. But there is your breakdown, and I'm going to show up tomorrow at my polling place. I just hope it is safe, and I don't want to be around a lot of people. So we'll see how that works. But I did not take the time to vote absentee.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, I wasn't here on Friday because I took the weekend, went to Vegas, and was sort of like the hangover. I ended up with a black eye. I haven't explained how the black eye happened. You can see the black eye on Instagram. My handle on Instagram is MarkTalk. I've come up with five scenarios, one of them being true for 305 this afternoon. We'll toss out to Carol and Fred and Mike Anderson. We'll see if anyone can nail it here. Did I just, before I get to my next guest, when I'm going to talk about Wesley Bell and Mike Brown, haven't had time to weigh in on that because that happened on Thursday afternoon. In fact, some of you might remember I broke that story. Somebody got real mad at me because in the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour, I sort of alluded to something. He's like, Reardon, come on, you can't do that. Well, I had to on that date. But did I just hear Congressman Clay? Oh, my God, this is like a gift. This is a gift for my show open. Dave Klein, when he's back, will realize this. Mike, play this one. Did I hear this accurately?
As the great St. Louis and Yogi Bear once said, this is deja vu all over again.
Hey, boo-boo. I love him. I love him, Lacey. That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. That's a little unexpected gift here this afternoon. 238. You're going to be voting on Medicaid expansion in Missouri tomorrow. 37 states have already passed this. My pal, Leah Vukmir, I knew her from my days in Wisconsin. She's with the National Taxpayers Association. Joins me this afternoon. She reached out because she knew that we were dealing with this in Missouri. Hey, Leah, how are you?
I am well, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on, and it's great to catch up with you. It's been a while.
We got to know each other way back, as we say, in the day. And, you know, I always tell this story because, as you know better than most, the group of people that emerged from Wisconsin over the course of a very short period, and we all did this TV show together. There was a guy that I worked with, Charlie Sykes, who some people might know as one of the leading Never Trumpers now. And Charlie had a TV show. I was on it. Leah was on it. Scott Walker was on it. Reince Priebus was on it. Who am I? Paul Ryan was on it. Who am I missing? Everyone from Wisconsin, and a bunch of those folks kind of popped out into the national scene, didn't they?
Well, it was a great crowd to be around. We certainly had a lot of fun, and I learned a lot from the process that obviously helped me in my years as a state lawmaker, and now with the National Taxpayers Union, where I am the Vice President of State Affairs.
Well, let's talk about Medicaid expansion here in Missouri. It's been an issue that, you know, I've obviously talked about over the years, and we were one of those states that sort of thwarted expansion in the aftermath of Obamacare, and there are some big budget issues that are at stake here, which is what you sort of highlight, but this is something that voters will decide on tomorrow. Now, Leah, as you know, in these states that expand Medicaid, the ads are running, and the case is being made that this is going to be money that we're missing out on from the federal government, that the rural hospitals really need this, that this is really hurting tens of thousands of Missourians who would be able to pick up, you know, health care in this particular situation with Medicaid.
Well, my emphatic message to the good people in the state of Missouri is to vote no tomorrow. You do not want to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, or as I like to call it, Obamacare. Look, Mark, what I know and what you know is the federal government always, always overpromises and undersells. And that is exactly what will happen in this situation. The feds initially are going to give 90% to cover the cost of this program. The state will only have to pay 10%. So, you know, Mark, that's free money, right?
As many people, it's always free money. Yes.
It's always free. But what ends up happening is the feds gradually decrease their support, as they always do. And then the state will be on the hook to pick up the larger share of the program. And this is going to invariably, and it has in other states, ballooned the state budget. And we already know from the CBO that by the end of this year, the federal debt will exceed the size of our economy. So what does that mean? It means the feds invariably will pull back. And the state of Missouri will then be left with this, the cost of this program. And we already know you're having budget problems. Most states are. I understand that your governor had to strip $459 million in future state spending on things like K-12 education and infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, people sometimes, let me expand on it a little bit, because and you're right about that. What people think, though, is because you hear the headlines that, you know, the governor's just cutting education. The reason, this is why you bring it up, the reason he's cutting education is because of the health care costs. And by the way, and revenues are down. By the way, Jay Nixon, our former Democrat governor, did the same thing. So this is not a Republican picking on education. It's just that there's no other place, unfortunately, in our state budget. We have to have a balanced budget to turn. And two-thirds of our, well, maybe it's not two-thirds, but a good portion, more than a third of our budget, is driven by these health care costs, by Medicaid right now.
40% of your state's budget is Medicaid.
Yeah.
And if the feds reduce the support, that means Missouri will be on the hook for $200 million. And that's with the estimate that approximately 350,000 people in your state could be eligible for the program. So where is that money going to come from? You and I both know that it's very difficult for state lawmakers to cut spending, so they will eliminate future spending, and that they're going to cut programs and areas that are very important, essential services, And this is not something that you want to do. You know, the expansion hurts the very people that Medicaid is intended to help. And you also know, Mark, I'm a nurse. And I think we can all agree that there is a role for government to provide a safety net for people who are truly needy. And what this expansion ends up doing is it encourages more able-bodied individuals to sign on at the expense of the truly needy, the expectant moms, children, elderly, disabled. So it bothers me when I see this happening as well, because the very people that the program is intended to help are the very people who are going to be hurt. And you can learn lessons from other states, Ohio, Oregon. Their enrollment numbers far exceeded the initial estimates. And now these states are struggling to cover their shortfalls while still trying to cover their essential services. And let's face it, COVID has created a huge problem, creating deficits in state budgets all across the country.
Yeah, it's so going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Right. So the end result will be increased taxes, increased fees, cuts to K-12 and other programs. There are good lessons, positive lessons, of course, from the great state of Wisconsin under the leadership of Scott Walker and our Republican legislature. I was proud to be a part of this. What we did instead, and this is why, you know, vote no tomorrow, people from Missouri, but know that there are other options. And what we did in Wisconsin is that we expanded our own Medicaid program without expanding it under Obamacare. So under Governor Walker's proposal, we expanded our program to include childless adults up to 100% of the federal poverty level. And famously, Governor Walker has often said, everyone living in poverty in Wisconsin is covered under our state Medicaid program. And because he said that, he was politifact-checked. He was politifact-checked. Right. As you can imagine, everything that a politician says these days gets checked, and it was found to be true. The Kaiser Family Foundation reported Wisconsin is the only state that did not expand, that also does not have a coverage gap. The coverage gap is this, Mark. It's the gap between those who are not eligible for Medicaid, but who also don't qualify for the Affordable Care Act. So we're the only state that did not expand and does not have that gap. Yeah. So,
well, that's the creative way to do it, and that's right. I completely would support that. Let me ask one final thing, though, before I let you go. Leah Vukmir is here with me. We're talking about this ballot issue for tomorrow. She's the Vice President of State Affairs with the National Taxpayers Union. The reality, I tend to oftentimes deal with the political reality, and the reality is that Oklahoma became the 37th state to expand Medicaid last month. So the momentum has not been on the side of vote no. And, you know, this is one of those things, as you know, it's on the ballot. It's yes on two health care for Missouri. So it sounds great.
Exactly. And, you know, they will do everything they can to make it sound like it's great, but you're not going to get these little details. And that's why programs like yours have been very important. I've been on quite a few radio stations in your state. I know there are a lot of groups that are fighting this. Oklahoma, it was by a very slim margin that this passed. And so that's why I hope this is a wake-up call to folks here in your state. And really think about this. You know, government-run health care, we know, and Medicaid is a form of government-run health care, isn't the greatest. It stifles innovation. That's what government does, government-run programs. Because of COVID, we have been talking about reforms in health care that I have dreamed about for a long time, telemedicine, being able to have greater access to health care in rural areas, and through getting government out of control and putting patients as consumers in control. And all of these things have been part of the national discussion because of COVID-19. And it would really be a step backwards for the good folks in your state to now expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, because you're really going to limit the opportunities for innovation that come from programs that are run with a more private sector bent. And I hope that folks in your state will understand that giving people greater control of their health care and their health care decisions and dollars is the direction you want to go, not giving government more control.
Yeah, I hope so, too. But, you know, it's going to be a weird election anyway, just because we're not sure. It's not a lot of people vote and you have COVID. So that's a bit of a complication as well. But thanks for coming on here this afternoon. Great to hook up with you. Hello to all my friends in the People's Republic of Wisconsin. I don't even know who I'd know that's still active in politics up there, Leah, but tell them I said hey anyway.
You know quite a few, and I will be sure to pass on your hellos. It was really great talking to you. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Please keep in touch on these tax issues. We're always interested down here in St. Louis. Thank you, Leah.
Absolutely. And your listeners can check out NTU at ntu.org. And there's a variety of issues that we will be covering there, including this one. So hope everybody votes no tomorrow.
That's Leah Vukmir with me this afternoon. Yeah, we've known each other for a long time. By the way, I have news that is not unexpected, but still sucks. Mark Saxon reporting this afternoon from The Athletic. He covers the Cardinals, that the Cardinals will not be going to Detroit, which, of course, was their next destination. That means they'll likely have to make up at least 7 games. I don't even know how that is possible. I mentioned these rumors that are floating around a trip to a casino, which have zero credibility at this point. Again, I just would caution people. Maybe that did happen. I don't know. But I think until we hear something from more official channels that you'd be unwise to believe everything you hear, because that's what happens in the social media age. But we'll see what happens. We'll find out a little bit more this afternoon. It's just a big bummer. It really is. And I don't honestly know why they haven't canceled the season based on all this. I'm glad that they haven't. The other question would be, why do you have the deep roster that you can pull from if you can't pull from that roster with the number of infections? Now, I've heard that the number now is up to 6 players, which is probably part of the concern.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Yeah, I mean, discombobulated. I got home last night pretty late from the trip to Vegas, and then I suffered the head injury, likely concussed, ladies and gentlemen, from the black eye. I'm going to give you 5 scenarios here as we wrap up the first hour here, head into the second hour. I'll announce these at 3:05. We'll have a little fun with it. I do have a black eye, a bit of a black eye. I'm not going to make it seem like it's the biggest deal on the planet, but it happened before I left, so my dad gave me this line, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but we'll try to narrow it down here and have Carol and Mike Anderson, even Kevin Killeen maybe play along here in just a couple of minutes. I am going to also talk about Mike Brown and Wesley Bell and the nonsense that happened on Thursday afternoon, because that certainly deserves some attention at this point. And I know that we didn't have baseball on Friday, so we had a roundtable, and Brad was nice enough to fill in at the last minute because of what happened with the Cardinals. But I think there are some pretty important things that really should be discussed in relation to this. And let's not forget, you know, here again, I don't even know what was the final number from July. 53, 54 murders for the month of July, 32 in the month of June for the city of St. Louis, understanding that St. Louis City and County are separate, but still, the crime issue is outrageous. Now we have a story. We have a 14-year-old boy who shot an off-duty St. Louis cop. Let's see if Kim Gardner, the social worker in chief. We have 2 social workers in this region right now, Wesley Bell and Kim Gardner. They're not interested in prosecuting crime. They're interested in being social workers and making political moves. So I think it's disappointing, and we'll kind of break down all the mistakes that Wesley Bell made. And by the way, he still hasn't answered the question. I've put it to him in his office. His office claims he'll come on. What about the Galleria shooting from last year involving the cop that was a clean shoot that you can't admit was a clean shoot because you hate cops, Wesley Bell? See, that's a very uncomfortable one for me. You don't want to talk about that one yet because he knows that's not going to play well either with the crowd that hates cops. He's in a bit of a pickle. We'll talk about that a little bit more at 3:20 this afternoon on KMOX. Total information PM at 4. And unfortunately, reports this afternoon that the Cardinals will not be heading to Detroit at all. No official confirmation. We'll get that to you when it comes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.